Today I'm going to talk to you about substance use and school victimization among California youth. I would like to acknowledge my co-authors. Actually, it's Dr. Joy Estrada. He recently graduated. Rami Benvenisti and Dr. Ron Astor at the School of Social Work at USC. I do not have any relationships to disclose. So, I think everyone here knows that adolescent substance use predisposes youth to numerous physical, social, and mental health problems in adolescence and young adulthood. Perhaps not as much known is that school victimization is also associated with poor social and academic outcomes, and that victimization of substance use has been known to co-occur. I would like to say first that I use the term victimization because we are trying to differentiate between bullying. As you know, bullying is a really big topic right now in our schools and in our nation, and actually internationally. The reason why we use the term victimization for this particular study is that bullying can include things that are perceptions, such as social isolation, which could be you sit down at the lunch table and someone turns their head, or people don't talk to you, whereas the victimization behaviors that we assess in the present study are actually overt things such as fighting, being afraid of being beaten up, that things that are more physical or things that we can sort of count or other people could observe that aren't as related to perceptions. In this particular study, I'm utilizing latent class analysis because latent class analysis is person-centered and you can identify subgroups or patterns of behavior within your population. This is important because substance use normally, for those of you who are familiar with that literature, people say, have you ever used a particular substance, right? And then the literature is very siloed. People who do tobacco research do focus on tobacco. Alcohol researchers focus on alcohol. What we know is that, you know, with the gateway hypothesis, a lot of times adolescents who are using one drug are possibly using other drugs. In addition, it's important to understand how often are they using those drugs. It's not just important to know whether you've ever tried a drug, but have you tried it in the last 30 days, and how often in the past 30 days do you use that? Latent class analysis or person-centered analysis allows you to get that level of detail about your population, whereas normally when you use variable-centered analysis, such as regular regression, you're analyzing to the mean. So on average, do people who say they smoked in the past 30 days exhibit victimization or experience victimization? Now we can actually look at specific patterns of behaviors and how they co-occur. So we know, and I've already said this, we know that outcomes related to substance use have been found to be influenced by frequency of use and the number of substances that a student or an adolescent is using. Victimization has also been found to be influenced by how often you're victimized. So are you being attacked every day or, you know, multiple occasions? And also types of victimization. In the present study, we differentiate between verbal victimization and actual physical victimization or violence victimization. The data for this study are from the 2005 through 2007 California Healthy Kids Survey. We had 418,702 adolescents, and they were in grades 7th, 9th, and 11th. So we had several covariates that we included in the analyses, which were grade in school, gender, and there was also a race ethnicity variable. I'm not going to focus on that particular portion of the results because I'm focusing on the co-occurrence of substance use and victimization. For alcohol, tobacco, and marijuana use, these were the three drugs that we focused on in this study. We had categories of I have never used this drug, I have not used it in the past 30 days, but I have tried it, so that's like an ever use. I've used it 1 or 2 days in the past 30, 3 to 9 days, or 10 to 30 days. So as you can see, there's that level of detail that I'm getting at that you normally don't see in studies of substance use among adolescents. I'm sorry for the busyness of this slide, but for the violence victimization, the question was, in the past 12 months, have you been shoved, kicked, or slapped? Have you been afraid of being beaten up? Have you actually had your property stolen or damaged? Have you been threatened with a gun or a knife? Have mean rumors or lies been spread about you? Have you had sexual jokes or comments made to you? Or have you been made fun of because of your looks? And that was categorized as 0 times, 1 time, 2 or 3 times, or 4 or more times. Again, you can see the level of detail that we're able to examine in this particular analysis. So with latent class analysis, it is a series of successive models. If you're familiar at all with, say, exploratory factor analysis, we had no a priori assumptions around how many different groups of substance use or victimization we would see. You basically start off with 0 classes, and you increase with each iteration until you obtain the appropriately fit model. The fit indices that we used were sample size adjusted BIC, entropy, which is an assessment of how people were actually classified into the group that they were in or that they should be in, the LMR-LRT, which is the low Mendel-Rubin likelihood ratio test, and also substantive interpretability. Because we had so many adolescents, a sample size of 400,000, you could end up getting, you know, 8 or 9 classes that are statistically significantly different from each other. But when you go to do the substantive interpretation, you kind of, okay, so are these people who are using marijuana 10 to 30 days versus people who are using marijuana 3 to 9 days, but they're still using alcohol, tobacco at the same rate. So it becomes kind of parsing out these very small nuances that won't really have clinical or practical application when you start talking about designing interventions. So the substance use, I'm one of those people, I like words and I also like pictures. So this is the words and the picture's gonna come next. But for substance use, we obtained a 4-class solution which accounted for non-users, so 60.6% of our sample had not or had low probability of recent or ever use of either of those three substances. 26% were alcohol experimenters, 7.4% were what I call moderate polysubstance users, and 6% were frequent polysubstance users. I use moderate, I tend to use low, moderate, and frequent. Those are my terms. It's sort of like, again, factor analysis, where it kind of depends on your interpretation, and these are not hard and fast rules. So here's a pictorial representation of how this analysis pans out. As you can see, the never users, and I use black so that you could really see, that's the probability if you're in this class that you've never used tobacco, alcohol, or marijuana. So you can see here that basically you have over a 0.95 probability that you've never tried tobacco, around a 0.85 probability that you've never tried alcohol, and you can see here it's about 0.98 probability that you've never tried marijuana. So that's that non-users class. And then you can see that as you go towards more pervasive substance use, that the red increases, which classifies those folks who are likely to respond that they have used these substances not only recently, but 10 to 30 days in the past month. So that's, you know, frequent polysubstance use. So that's how I got that name. Similarly, when you look at moderate, you can see here the green represents 1 or 2 days, and the orange is 3 to 9 days. And so again, you have low probability of not ever using, but not necessarily as much red indicating much more frequent use. And for alcohol experimenters, you can see they've tried tobacco and marijuana, but for the most part, lots of them have definitely tried alcohol, maybe not in the past 30 days, but that's why I call that the alcohol experimentation group. For violence victimization, we also obtained a 4-class solution. 46.6% of the group was not victimized, so there's little or no victimization reported. 20.3% identified being verbally victimized. 21.3% experienced occasional verbal and physical victimization. So this is what the latent class analysis can let you see. There are people who don't just experience one type of victimization, they experience both and in different combinations. And then there were those 11.8% who reported frequent verbal and physical victimization. Because there were so many different questions for the victimization, you saw that slide was long, I had a big list of questions, I couldn't fit them all nicely on a graph, so I picked 2 representing physical victimization and the verbal victimization. So here I have whether or not you've been hit, whether you were afraid of being beaten up, whether you had rumors, and whether there were jokes made about you, sexual jokes to you. So as you can see, for those people who were not victimized, again, lots of black here indicating that they reported 0 times. For the verbal victimization, you see for hit and afraid that the probability of not reporting those are high, but then you see that there's higher probability of being verbally victimized with the rumors and had sexual jokes made at you. Then occasional verbal and physical, you can see here where now we have increasing likelihood of reporting some of each of those types of victimization. And then for frequent verbal and physical victimization, low probability of none of them occurring. And again, there are 4 more questions that aren't even presented here. So the pattern again just matches that you see the red, which is the concerning part, that's the increasing number of times experiencing something increasing as you have further victimization. The key to this analysis though, is the co-occurrence of substance use and violence victimization. So now we've got these very particular patterns. So it's you know, kind of like a twofer that you get using this sort of analysis, and that I identify these specific patterns and subgroups of behavior for both substance use and victimization, and then I could also see, given that I'm in one class or that I'm likely to give a certain pattern of responses for one domain, what is my likelihood of experiencing or being in a particular class for the other domain? And this is accomplished simultaneously with a logistic regression at the when you're running the model. What we find here is that any victimization, so all of these have a reference category, similar to any other logistic regression. For violence victimization classes, the reference category are those who were not victimized. And then for the ATOD use classes, you can see here I have the versus the non-users, so that's apparent to you. Any victimization significantly increased your likelihood of reporting using substances. And most concerning is that if you are experiencing frequent verbal and physical victimization, you have over a sevenfold likelihood increase in likelihood of being a frequent polysubstance user versus a non-user. So you can see here that victimization is very concerning for adolescents. For verbal victimization, you can see that that increased your likelihood over fourfold of being a mild polysubstance user, but had a greater impact, you know, being verbally victimized regularly, as it were, given the context of the study, had a greater impact than low verbal and physical victimization on whether or not you were going to be a moderate or a mild or a frequent polysubstance user. And I would also like to point out that even though we had a very large sample size, what's really nice here is that we have very tight confidence intervals. We don't have very wide confidence intervals, so we can be, you know, very pretty sure that what we're finding is accurate. I also like to say that we're not assuming that victimization causes substance use or that substance use causes victimization. It is cross-sectional, but you can see that there's an increased likelihood. If you're experiencing one, you're more likely to be engaging in the other. I am a proponent, because there are different theories, I'm a proponent of self-medication, that being victimized is going to cause you to then seek other things to compensate for that. And I would also wager, and this is a future analysis that I'm going to run, where we look at three different domains and incorporate mental health as well, because I'm guaranteeing that if you're being victimized, that you're also going to have poor mental health and increased substance use. So there is substantial heterogeneity in substance use behavior and violence victimization among California adolescents. And as I've already indicated, victimization greatly increases the likelihood of more concerning levels of substance use. There are limitations for this study, the first being that it is based upon adolescent self-report. It's also a cross-sectional study, so I cannot infer causality. Another issue that I have with this particular data set are the limited substance use questions. The other data set that I've used in the past, looking at national estimates of substance use, so for example, the YRBSS, the Youth Risk Surveillance Survey, they have those specific questions, not just about alcohol, tobacco, and marijuana, but you can also ask about hard drug use, such as heroin. There's, you know, ecstasy use questions. And so this particular survey is very limited as far as the level of detail that you can get for other substances beyond alcohol, tobacco, and marijuana. The conclusions are that being victimized in school is associated with a large increase in the risk of using multiple substances. So not that you're just using a substance, but we've shown here that you're actually using multiple substances and you're using them recently, not just, you know, ever or not having a true understanding of what the behaviors are. The results provide opportunities for tailoring interventions for youth who experience particular patterns of victimization. So whether you experience verbal, physical only, or both, but it's also opportunities for targeting those youth already identified as being victimized for substance use evaluation. Because basically, if you see that being victimized is associated with increasing substance use likelihood, then why wouldn't you go ahead and screen if you're already counseling a youth? That's all. Any questions?
No questions?
So we know that some of the people who are being victimized in turn victimize others. Mm-hmm. Are you planning, or have you already looked at that issue as well?
So we actually have another study. I'm interested in victimization. My colleagues, my co-authors, they actually look at their bullying. They do bullying literature. So we actually do have data on perpetrators versus victims, and that is the next step that we're going to look at.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.